Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. And this week I've got a cool guest on. I actually met this dude at Cape Fear 24 Hour last year. He was doing something weird. So he and James Huller were doing push-ups, and I'm not quite sure how often they did the push-ups. I know they both ran at least a 50K, but they had to have done, it seemed like, 50,000 push-ups at the same time. So let's welcome in Mr. Alan Williford. Alan, you ready to go for a run or do push-ups or whatever?
If we must. Okay. Yeah, no, definitely.
How many push-ups did you guys end up doing? Because you did do a 50K.
Oh, man. We did. So I think I heard when you talked to James one of your episodes, I actually heard him kind of semi bring me up and talked about our little kayaking adventure. I'm more of a yakker. I'm not one of you guys per se, a runner. So maybe I'm an ultra paddler. I don't know if that's even a thing, but maybe we just copyright it right real quick.
There you go. We'll make it a thing. Starting right now. Okay.
Ultra paddlers. All right.
There you go.
So push-up wise. So I don't know if you know the backstory to it.
No, I don't know the backstory.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll fill you in real quick. I mean,
perfect.
So how I met James was through the Swami, which you're very, very familiar with the Swami. I mean, I was crewing for a buddy, and James became a good friend, a contact, and he called me one day, and it was one of those friends, and I think we all have them. And here's how he is now. If he calls me, I'm like, hey, you're good. And he's like, yeah, just want to chat. Okay, cool. Or if he says, hey, I got an idea, I hang up on him real fast. So he's one of those friends. If he has an idea, you don't listen to it. So he calls me, and I know he's a runner. And he said, hey, I got an idea. I know you paddle. I don't really run. He runs. He doesn't paddle. But he said, I have this bright idea. I'm doing this race, the Cape Fear 24. And every time I make a turn, you're facing the Cape Fear River, which, you know, is what, maybe a quarter mile from the track that we run on.
Yeah, probably not even. Yeah, it's right there.
Right there in your face. So he goes, I got this idea. Come do this run with me, and then let's paddle to Wilmington, which is another roughly 150 miles. Which is just horrendous, right? You're going to run for 24 hours and just beat your body, and then you're going to sit in this piece of plastic and go down this river. So it was just the dumbest idea. So of course I agreed to it, and I was like, okay, let's work on this. And I think, as he said before, logistic wise, we weren't able to work out the training regimen. We wanted to feel safe really on the river more than anything. And it didn't hit me. So the fun part of Cape Fear, to me, the run, is you get to camp the night before, right?
And
if we all show up, and me and James, we parked kind of in the same place both years. But it was not last year, but the year before was the first year when we started this thing. And we set up our little tent, and we're sitting there that morning, and it hit me. It was like 7 o'clock. I was like, dude, we're not even paddling. Why am I here? You're not doing your part. Why am I running? And so one of us, you know, we thumb wrestle on who said it, but said, all right, well, let's do 10 push-ups every lap we do. And, you know, I believe the laps there are 0.57 of a mile. And so every lap we came around, we dropped down and did 10. And on the side of his truck, his old truck that it doesn't have now, but he took a Sharpie out and started writing ticks next to our names. And with that race, again, I asked James, I said, what is my goal? I've never done this before. And I can tell you, if you ever want to know my history of running, but he said, do an ultra. And he said, anything over 26.2, right? That you can be classified as you ran an ultra. So 12 hours later, no, maybe not quite 12, it was around 5 or 6 dinner time, we're crossing that 27, 28 mile mark, and we've done 10 push-ups every time. And it was horrendous. It was so bad because the stopping and getting down and doing the push-ups, but having to get back up and then keep running, you know? So I've heard you guys say it, that runner's high, where you start running and you're peaceful and you're smooth and everything's just clear and you're running like gliding. And I was way past that. And you know, again, not a runner, and we're hitting our 27 mile mark after doing push-ups. I was done. So that was the first year. Again, so logistics wise, we didn't get to do the paddle again last year. Last year, second year we did it, we didn't get to do the paddle again, but we dropped down and we did the push-ups again. So, Ken, so to answer your question, I'm sorry. The first year, I don't remember what we did last year, but you're right. The race director, she's such a sweetheart. It was that's such a fun race for anybody that doesn't even race. It's such they do such a good job, and to break the monotony of running in a circle, but with the food and everything, and that's what James is like. This is the only race I've ever ran where you gain weight. Like you, they just shove, yeah, they're just shoving burgers and food in your mouth every, lap. So, but we were at four, maybe 500, the first year, and then the second year we did do 32 miles, 33 miles, I think, whatever the 50K. We broke a 50K. So,
No, that was insane. I loved it.
lot
It
of
was just,
push-ups.
I coming around watching you guys is like, what in the hell are these idiots doing, man?
Oh, we got that a lot. We talked to there's a girl there that always dresses up.
Yes. Lori Lutecki.
Okay, she. So we talked her into maybe if we caught her on a lap and we were coming around that turn where we were parked together, she was like, "Dang it!" She would try to run from us, but she would drop down and kind of give us a little adapted push-ups too. And then so it was fun. It was fun for us. Again, I'm not a runner. I mean, I appreciate what you guys do out there and how you do it. And I don't ever, like James said, to do an ultra, I don't ever claim to be an ultra runner because there were people there that the first year we ran 27 and it was over some 27 some change. And then I crashed that night, got up the next morning early. And you still have some time on the clock. And James and I, we put in another couple miles slow, just kind of stretching back out. But there were people there that ran a marathon. They were there just to, I want to get 26 in, like it was nothing. And they were done by lunch. And I'm just like, I'm gonna be 26 or 27 miles in, and it takes me 5 hours longer. So no. Do I claim to be an ultra runner? Not one bit. I'm just one of those knuckleheads that got dared
That's
to do something.
awesome. Well, what do you
So
do when you're not out ultra paddling and doing massive
yeah.
amounts of push-ups and stuff?
So I have four kids. That's kind of my pride. I'm proud of my kids, and they are all athletes in whatever realm. We actually just dropped my oldest daughter off at UNCW, so she's down in Wilmington now. And then we have, but all three, I have three girls and a boy. The youngest is a boy. His name's Maverick. He's 8, going on 18, and fearless. But all of them play rugby. One plays soccer, one runs track. My sixth grader, I have to give her, she's a runner. She ran track, but out of nowhere, she's got that runner's body. She ran 100-meter hurdles and placed sixth in the conference for her very first year. So I was very proud of her for that. And then Maverick is playing baseball and rugby. But besides taking your kids around every single weekend to some other event, I am a full-time fireman, and that takes up a lot of our time with being gone away from the house a lot. And then we run a couple of nonprofits, and one of them is called Paddling for Pennies. That's where the kayaking part comes in.
Oh, so
Yeah.
how long have you been kayaking?
Probably since, I guess, a teenager, did scouts and things like that. And then got a little older and kind of switched up boats. I don't really do whitewater. I really enjoy the long distance. As you guys, I appreciate your podcast. I appreciate your message and what you guys are doing about the ultra life. And just, I kind of, define that a little differently than the ultra running side of it. But I believe we're all in the same mental capacity of the mental life of just our ultra life of just that mental side we have of just trying to push our bodies and find something different to do, different, hard, and make your life worthwhile, to where you accomplish crazy things. That's how I look at
Yeah,
it.
that's
But
awesome.
so we started doing the paddle. We call it the long paddle, but it's our Paddling for Pennies. We did that started in 2013, so we've had it going since then. But it's 193 miles in 4 days
Wow.
down the Neuse River. So
Dang.
we
That's I the Neuse River is 193 miles.
from Raleigh, from Falls Lake, the dam down to New Bern. So it actually goes further, but we stop in New Bern, which is
Okay.
193 miles.
Wow. And what time of year do you guys do that?
It kind of depends. It used to be kind of spring or a fall deal. And then as we've grown, which we're really blessed to, we're a 501c. It's a fundraiser we do, but all the money we raise goes to a first responder or a military veteran, whatnot, that genre that is just in a hardship that year. And so we do the long paddle and raise money, and we always donate to a different family or somebody we found out that's North Carolina based. And then we've started a golf tournament, and then we have a new thing, an Eddie Line paddle, where we're taking other people semi-based around PTS. We kind of don't like the stigma or the verbiage of PTS, right? We just say, having a life hardship or need a mental retreat, something like that.
Yes.
So we take other first responders or military personnel, and we take them on a 3-day camping trip down the river and just hang out, have short paddles and have fireside time at night and just talk about things. And hopefully everybody goes home a little more mentally rested and back ready to get back into life.
That is
So,
awesome, Alan. I love
thank you.
people who are just your normal Joes that are out there making a
That's
difference in people's lives. I think that's what life is all about, man. Thank you for doing that.
right. Yeah, thank you.
Tell us how you got involved, because you is Swami Shuffle the first time you had ever crewed a runner, or have you been doing this for a while?
No. So yeah, that was the first. So I had a buddy, Dustin Cainsthorpe, who he's a retired Marine, saw action overseas and whatnot, but he was an ultra runner. And I actually met him. He lived in New Bern, and he has a couple of nonprofits, Bravo Alpha campaign and things like that. But he lived in New Bern, and we just happened to meet at from where we come in from our paddle. And every year he was there, and him and I just hit it off more and more. And he tried to get me to the band of runners down in San Antonio.
Yes.
It's a running camp.
Yep.
So he had been hitting them up for a while, and he had been a real big advocate for the first responders, and he always called them the domestic soldiers. And so we actually had talked about doing things together, and about me on the first responder side and him on the military side. But he had really been hitting up the band of runners people and saying, "Hey, we need to let first responders participate. This is happening to them also, just kind of some kind of retreat or whatnot." Anyway, they agreed to let me come down one year and run at their camp. And so Dustin calls me, and he's all pumped. And I'm like, "You're crazy. I no, I don't. I believe in cars and bicycles for, transportation. We don't have to run anywhere, guys." So actually, I got on the treadmill at the fire station, and I started practicing. And that first, I said, "I'm gonna run a 5K." And I think that's the first time I can ever relate with you guys about the runner's high. I said, "I'm gonna run a mile. I haven't ran a mile in a while." And I look down, and about 1.5 in, I'm like, "I'm feeling good. Like I'm striding, and I'm this feels good." And then I look down, and I'm at like 2.3 miles, and I'm like, "Oh wow, okay, I'm gonna hit 3 point. I'm going for a 5K." And it was maybe mile 2.6. My body was like, "No, bro, we're done. We, you know, this is overrated." So I made my time, but anyway. And then of all things, COVID happens.
Wow.
So COVID comes in, they cancel the camp that year. I didn't get to go. And then Dustin calls me, and he says, "Hey, there's this race that's being put on, and I entered it, and I want you to come crew me." And I just from knowing him and what knowledge I did have of runners or the crewing side of it and the education he had taught me, I agreed, and I got to go down, and he had brought a couple other guys that had crewed with him also before. And he brought his van, and I had my van. And we show up, and like nobody else really there has a crew. I mean, it was like,
Right.
I think Kelly, her husband Kelly, was there. And so I got to meet like some of the people you know and have, like Sally and John. And that was the first time I met James and Josh. And so anyway, we pull up in this big wrapped van from his nonprofit, and but he had his service dog, and I'm allergic to dogs. So I was
No.
like, "I'm gonna help you out from my van. You guys take your van." And so it was kind of a blessing because I got to experience the first year of Swami crewing Dustin, but also helping out others. And it was so fun. I know I didn't benefit anybody by anything I did, but it was just being able to pull up next to people and be like, "Are you good?" And they're like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "You want this apple?" And they're like, "Yes, please," or something, right? And
Yes.
make them a sandwich. And so I was kind of a mini crew. And I think Sally had on when you talked to Sally one day, she had mentioned about she was super cold, and you get in out that desolate land, right? After Bonner Bridge and Pea Island.
Yes.
And she was out there, and I came up on her and I was like, "Are you good?" And it was so cold because, as you know, it's in February, January, late, but early February, I believe.
Yeah, late
And it's
February.
just, it's freezing out there at night. It drops into 40s. And as you guys talk about the wind, and I mean, I was miserable in a van. So I couldn't imagine you guys out there running, but I pulled up Sally. And so Sally talked about the one time she had to go pee in the woods, or she found some. I actually was with her when she did that. And I was like, "Do you want to get in the van?" She goes, "No, if I get in, I won't get out." And
Yep.
she says, "I got to pee so bad." So I held her stuff and she ran off and she did her business and she came back and suited back up. And I think she put some pants on and I never saw her again. That's the last time I've ever saw Sally Hernandez. She ran off in
Wow.
the distance and that was it. So, but to answer your question, that was the first time I'd crewed and for Dustin. And actually, Sally said she was going to run a race in Ohio, and I don't know which one that would be.
Okay, 200.
I believe she was planning on running that, and she asked if I would come up there and crew her. And I was like, I guess. I mean, you tell me what you need, and I would gladly do it. But again, we never got to work that out. So.
That's
No, that was
awesome.
kind of my time. Yeah,
And
but it was
that was the first Swamis too, wasn't it?
first year. That was the first year. Yep, first
Wow.
Swami they did. There was only, I think there was under 10 runners,
Yeah,
and
I think six finished.
yeah, I think so. Dustin came in. He had a hard run. He had some things happen on the beach. He tried to take a shortcut, I guess. Semi sprained his ankle the very first
Oh.
day, and his foot swelled up, and it was just not his trip. And but he completed it, so I was proud of him.
Yeah,
But yeah, pretty
that's a tough race, but yeah, like I tell people, I'll do it every year simply for the cause. It's
it's
worth it.
yeah, James and Josh are doing big things. That's it's
They
pretty
are.
awesome.
They're amazing folks. So, what's your impression of crewing? I mean, what do you think is, one of the important things that crew have to be mindful of when they're out there with a runner?
From my little experience, but also from coaching and just being around athletics and being a trainer, I really feel like getting to know your runner. Because as somebody who, when we paddle, there's sometimes you're just miserable and you just need that one person to come up to you and just kind of say the right thing at the right time. Or the opposite, know when not to say something and just have the food ready, have the shoes ready. Again, Dustin had. And this is my ice breaking of ultra running was Dustin's race. And he had, okay, if I'm on this type of soil, I want these ultras. If I'm on the road, I want these ultras. And then other people are passing by us. And the beautiful thing to me about the Swami is how it is. I think different than most other things where it's just like people are just going. They got stuff on their back. And as you guys have talked about, they're planning on there's this gas station and I need to be there by 4 o'clock. And they're gonna have this tuna sandwich, blah blah blah, and then I'm gonna be here and there. And Dustin had his van and he had his running, and there were things that we were able to give at the right time, and so I think he benefited a lot from that. I really feel just getting to know your runner, and it's almost a marriage, right? It's almost
Yeah.
a dating thing where you're gonna have to feed off each other because, again, being in some of those incidents where I'm hurting when we're paddling on the river. We'll put in 50 miles in a day, or vice versa. I love, love, love taking new people out and watching them experience pain and hardship, and not in a bad demonic way, but they're going to make it through it, and you're going to get to see that beautiful side of revitalizing their life and just being like, I did this, I did this, and then you're just able to say, yeah, you made it through on yourself. When you
Yes.
guys run, nobody's giving you a piggyback ride, but they might cheer you on. And same thing when we paddle down the river, it's like, I can't paddle your boat, but I'm going to be next to you, cheering you on. And I think as, we might be paddling next to each other, but I feel kind of like a crew member. And I guess you guys with the crew is just, you've got to be able to feed each other the emotions and the mental side. Because
Definitely.
once your mind goes, your body's going with it. So.
Yeah. So let's go back to paddling, because what you're
Okay.
doing with the paddling and the paddling for pennies and
Yeah.
stuff kind of amazes me. So with paddling for pennies, when you do that, are you with a group of people, or is it just you and a couple friends, or what does that look like?
So it can be interesting. It's a year-to-year thing. The very first year we did it, it was just an idea that popped in my head because we live in Clayton, which is right outside of Raleigh in North Carolina, and the Neuse River runs through our little town, and so we would go out there and play on it, and I just like I want to paddle the whole thing, and my wife just looks at me like, "All right," she just shrugs her shoulders when I have those ideas,
Right.
and I was leaving the fire department one day, and a buddy of mine was walking out, Paul, and he said, he asked me, he goes, "What is this thing you're doing?" And I told him, and he goes, "I'll go with you," and I was like, "More the merrier." So we had no clue what we were doing. I mean, we knew how to paddle boats, but we didn't know where certain things were and blah, blah, blah. But so him and I started off on an April morning at midnight, and it was 35 degrees that morning, and it was just beyond cold. And we made it down to Newbern, and we looked at each other, and it was so bad. And we swore to each other, we pinky promised we would never, ever do it again. It was so bad. And now it's 2024, and we're 11 years deep in it, and we're still rolling with this thing. But really, we've had some years where it's been five paddlers. We paddled for a gentleman, Dane Waggett, who was a Wilmington fireman who passed away, unfortunately. And when we paddled for him, we had about five of the firefighters from Wilmington Fire Department come up and join us and paddle the whole thing,
That's
the year
awesome.
we did it for him. So yeah, so it really, sometimes we have a little. When COVID happened, I actually paddled it by myself. That year, we really just kind of how things worked out. I still wanted to do it, and so I sat out and did it by myself. And then we've had people join us, and a friend, Lisa Thompson, who James knows real well, she was actually there last year at the Cape Fear. She didn't really sign up, but she just shows up. She's just one of those people that is always supporting. So she ran with us
Yep.
somewhat, and emotionally motivated us, but she's always been there. So yeah, it really depends. But it's open every year we decide to do it. It's just more the merrier. Anybody who just wants an adventure, and we have this thing where we like you want to find out what your why is. Why do you guys run? Why do we paddle? And I always tell the new guys is that if you know why you are doing this and you're doing it for the right reasons, you'll make it. But if you don't know what your why is in life, even when your body starts hurting, your mind is gonna make your body hurt even more if you don't know what your why is. So you've got to have that why set in stone, and you'll be able to mentally break that physical pain as you
Yep.
paddle.
Yeah, it's the same in ultra running. You
Yeah.
better know what your why is, or don't go tackling a 200 miler if you don't know why you're doing
Yeah.
it.
That's
So,
right. Yeah.
yeah,
Yep.
it's good
You can
stuff.
talk yourself out real quick.
Yeah. So now the second one you do, where you actually take some of the people who are overcoming challenges and
Great.
everything. What is that one called again? And when do you usually do that? And how many people go?
Yeah, so it's called the eddy line paddle, and it was
Okay.
named so in water you have an eddy, which is we'll say an obstruction in the middle of the water, what is called a big rock, and the
Okay.
water hits that rock and goes around it. And on the backside of that boulder is, as a rescue swimmer, as a paddler, we try to find eddies because the water is still. The water is actually the water that pushed down around the rock goes down the river and kind of turns and comes back up to that rock. So if we swim or paddle over to there, you can hide, you can sit there, and we rest and just take a break and regroup, and then you can swim out. So the eddy line is the difference between the pushing water and the calm water. And so
Oh
we
my
call this thing
gosh.
the eddy line, where you get into that eddy and that's our rest, that's our retreat, our regrouping time. And so that's, hence where
Oh,
we
dude,
kind of
that
take
is awesome.
it. So
Wow, that's gotta
yep.
like speak volumes to some of these guys.
We hope so. We hope the analogy works. And so far, so the eddy line is new, honestly. We've only did it last year.
Okay.
We had a handful of guys go, and it was just it spoke volumes to us on how it happened and how. And so the eddy line, this kind of idea was something Dustin Kainsdorf and I thought of years ago when he called me. He goes, "I got an idea," and that was one of those ideas. And we ended up sitting around his office table for about 3 hours, just sharing our stories, sharing our demons, and just two grown men letting loose and shedding some tears and talking and saying, we need to do this because there's others like us and there's others that need to be with other people. And we are, if feed, we'll feed off it as much as they do. So unfortunately, we did the Swami and Dustin and his wife and family moved on. His son joined the army and they moved away and have been kind of on a retreat, I guess, for a while. So I told him, I said, I'm gonna take the paddle idea and run with it. And he was giving me two thumbs up and said, please do. So we started that last year. And again, how we paddle for certain people every year. We paddled for a gentleman named Matthew Fishman, who was a Wayne County deputy. He was shot on the line of duty. And anyway, somebody that worked that call and knew him personally had come up to one of our booths at a thing. And I was telling him about what we do. And I kind of pointed at Matthew's picture, and this gentleman just walks away. And I was like, oh crap, he didn't want to hear my story. Okay. And but his wife sat there and she kind of looked and she goes, he worked that case. Like he was there that day. And so I turned around, he apologized to me. I came over to him. We gave each other a huge hug. He apologizes, like, there's no way in the world you need to ever apologize for any of that. They walked off and came back a little bit later to something else. And I said, hey, we've got this Eddyline paddle. Would you want to come? And he was a kayaker and he was ecstatic. And it was just, we had a couple more instances of things happen throughout the year where it was just like, this is our purpose. This is what we're supposed to be doing. The long paddle is kind of our fun, weird 4 day torture of the body kind of thing, but it's still somewhat fun. But the Eddyline paddle really was what we're meant to do. And after we were able to take these gentlemen out on that 3 days, we were just like, this is something special. This is really gonna, I think, turn into something, hopefully. So we try to keep it small. We were gonna cap it at 12 people, but I think we're gonna keep it maybe around 8. So we've purchased all the boats, PFDs, the paddles, all the food. We have tents. All you have to bring is your sleeping bag and a water bottle. We provide
Wow.
every single thing else for you. So we just take applicants. And again, this is the second year of it, so we're still learning from it. But we wanted to make it more personable for everybody. And we felt like if we make it too big, then maybe people get lost in the mix and they might not get the same feelings away from it as the first crew did. So I think we're going to try to keep it a little bit smaller, maybe 8 people. And just do what we can.
That's incredible. I love what you're doing, man. I mean, that is just so
Awesome.
valuable. And wow, I'm hoping it grows, man. I actually am sitting there
Yeah.
going, gosh, I wonder if I could paddle. I can't swim, so I don't know what I'm going to do if I fall out. But
Got a jacket on. You'll be all right. You just
okay,
float.
cool.
Thank you.
I may have to come down. Yeah, maybe I could be like you. Like, I don't know. I'm ready for 129 miles. What if I do 9? You know, I come down to the last 9 with you. How's that sound?
Well, look, hey, it's funny you say that. I'll be honest with you because the very last day on our long paddle is 11 miles. And
Okay.
we actually kid and talk about like when you try to get James to come do it, he actually still has one of my kayaks. Two few years ago, I sent him home with a kayak and I don't think he's used it much. But we say the last 11 miles is from the outside of New Bern where the river starts getting bigger. And if you've been to New Bern, you know how it the Trent River and the Neuse come together and it's just
Yep.
really big where the downtown is. So, but we go through this area called the Gut, which is these little windy 30-yard wide paths where some alligators live and it's just seagrass and there's eagles and it's just wide open area. But it's some of the beautiful, most the prettiest parts of the river are right there, that 11 miles. So we tell people, hey, it's still a strenuous 11 miles. I mean, it's still paddling 11 miles, but it's small enough to where anybody can come and it takes us about 3 hours to do and
Okay.
it's not bad. And if anybody ever wants to, I have this addiction of buying used kayaks, so my backyard is full. I've got plenty of whatever anybody needs, so not a
You know,
problem.
we're gonna stay in contact because
Yeah.
I'm one of these people, and that just sounds crazy enough that I do it. And so,
That's our group, right? There's a group
yeah.
where we call each other and As long as we're doing okay, you hang up on them real fast. So you get
Exactly.
a
But
text message.
the thing that that just intrigues me about it is getting a chance to be around some of these guys and being able to encourage them to keep on fighting, 'cause that's
That's
what
right.
I'm spending my whole life doing, is saying, "Hey man, the story hasn't been told yet. So
Yeah.
if you quit now, your story's never going to get told." And that's the best story out there, is the one that hasn't been told yet. And
That's
so,
right.
my encouragement to veterans and first responders, everybody who deals with experiences that none of us should ever have to see, but
Yeah.
you're going through it. My thing is, don't give up because your story hasn't been told yet.
That's
And
right.
that's the most beautiful thing that can happen, is when the story gets told, and at the end of the story is this, everything was bleak, but when we get our butt in the right place, and I don't care if it's
That's
a 1T or 2T, magical things happen.
right.
So you're making great things
100%.
happen, Alan. I love this.
There.
I know this is kind
Oh.
of a chance conversation from James and everything, but I'm like,
For
this is going
sure.
to speak volumes to people, because it's not just about running. It's about what are you doing that's adding value to our communities? And
There you go. Yeah.
you're doing amazing, man. So
That's
yeah, this
well,
is exciting.
I appreciate that. We've worked hard on it and we've tried.
That is cool. Now, do your wife and your kids ever go out on any of these crazy things with you?
Yeah, so so they'll take day trips with me. We've got whitewater rafts and we'll throw those in and paddle boards, and I grew up surfing, and so we're water people. But something I did too for my oldest daughter, when she turned 16, for her to get her license, she had to complete a task. And it was know how to change a tire, know how to check your oil. I don't change mine, so I'm not going to make her change hers. But
Yep.
back a trailer, drive a stick, and she had to choose, does she want to do the long paddle with me, or does she want to go on a 5-day backpacking trip with me? And so
Cool.
she chose the paddle. So we went and found her a boat. We got her a boat, and she did the long paddle with us when she turned 16. So she's completed it also. And now I have my second daughter who will be 16 in May. And it's a daily thing of she goes back and forth between backpacking and paddling. So it'll be curious to see which one she chooses. But
That's awesome. Now, that's not the one who's the runner, right?
no, that's my youngest daughter. Yeah,
Okay. Okay.
she's only 12 right now, but she'll have her time one day also. So,
That is so cool. I love that you're doing that with your kids, man. I think that is just so awesome. Very, very
we gotta
cool.
keep them active. The times are different than I think how we grew up, how I grew up. It's so we're
Cool.
trying to teach them things.
That's good stuff, man. So are you coming to Cape Fear this year?
So I'm actually on shift that Saturday, but we've talked about maybe just coming down Friday night, hanging out, just seeing people. I mean, I honestly just love coming down there and watching people set up their tents, and I'm just like, this is the coolest thing, because I have a big black Nissan van, and me and James parked next to each other, and we just, he slept in his truck, I slept in my van. I think he actually slept outside last year, but
I think he did. I think he slept on the ground on a mat or something.
That's right. Yep. And that, so I slept on the other side of the path we were on. We had our little tent up, and I was on her side of my van. But I'm gonna maybe I'm not gonna run, but I am going, because I know James too, and I believe I've heard you say you guys are going for 100, right?
Yep.
Going for
Going
the
for a
100 miles.
hundo this year.
Awesome. That is awesome. James, yeah, him and I were talking about a week ago, and he told me that that's what he was training for. So I honestly, and this is just, I feel like if I come down and run, I would be more of a hindrance to when somebody has a goal like that. And I wouldn't want to be in the way, but I want to be there to support. And so I might try to take 12 hours off and come down for the daytime and just
That'd be
get
cool.
to know
That'd
you
be
guys.
awesome.
So
Yeah, James
yeah.
is running and I'm gonna go for walking 100 miles
Oh yeah?
in 24
Are you gonna
hours. So
walk? Walk 100?
yeah, I decided, I'm not a very fast runner anyway, so but
Okay.
I got a very steady power walk. So now it's
Yeah,
just
you
a
get a
matter
good
of
stride with the walk.
yeah,
I
just a
love
matter of building it to
it.
24 hours and 100 miles. So
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
yeah, I
that's
may be a little bit tired because it does mean no breaks.
yeah, that is great. That is, yeah. It's I'm jealous. I'll be honest, I've always been lazy when and I had excuses. I was that guy growing up, I played all the sports, but I had asthma and I was like, oh, I can't run because I got asthma, So, and now being older, I'm just like, man, and it just takes, I think as I do with people with paddling, it's just nothing's going to change till you get out there and actually do it. So, but I'm jealous of you guys. I admire your tenacity of going long distances, completing the Swami. That is just, I think that is, if I was a runner, that would be to me the coolest race ever because of just the unknown of everything, the elements and how they change and the different terrain changes. And I just think it's an awesome deal.
Yeah, it was
So.
like I was telling somebody the other day. I said, look, man, Swami is all about adapting. Make your plans, get all of your strategy and everything, and then be willing to say, oops.
Erase it all and start over.
That's
Yeah.
right. It's
I
because
think,
it.
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just sorry. I was thinking, I was having flashbacks to the very first year. And I think as you've talked to other people, you guys have heard other people's stories and get to feed off other game plans. But I remember this one guy, Josh, and I'm embarrassed I forgot his name right now, but stud of a dude. They came off the beach, and I think it was him and another guy coming off together first, and he had this big pack on, not really a rucksack, but just a big pack. And we were talking, and he said, "Dude, I'm stoked," because I asked him about sleeping. I said, "Where are you gonna sleep tonight?" He said, "I don't know. I'm kind of stoked because I just bought this sleeping bag from REI and this new bag, and I'm ready to reuse it." So he had this big old pack, and he goes off, and I saw him the next day. And I had a runner's pack, like a smaller, more streamlined kind of backpack, but doesn't
Right.
carry a lot of gear. I offered, I said, "Do you want my pack?" And he said, No, I'm good. I'm good." And he had his first day. And the second day I saw him, I was like, "Where'd you sleep last night?" He goes, "Man, I found some gazebo up off the ground and I crawled up under some steps and the wind was blowing so hard and I got in my sleeping bag and it was so cold." I said, "All right." I said, "Do you want my pack?" And he goes, "Yeah, can I take your pack?" So he dogged his pack and he put it in the van and he packed what he could in his and he set off on over the Bonner Bridge, and went into that no man's land of long straightaways. So
Oh my gosh, that's
yeah,
awesome.
same thing. It's just you learn the hard way sometimes, but you've got to be able to adapt on a minute and get back to it. Don't let it
Yep,
stop you.
and that's the value of having people like you out there, because I mean every year I've run it, there's been somebody that's just, he's got a runner, they're crewing a runner, but there's only so much you can do. So
Right.
he
Yeah.
just kept on driving up and down the road and just, hey, can I take something for you and deliver it to the next spot? And it
Right.
was, I mean, that's so valuable and that's so neat, because the more that, Swami goes on, the more the people sit there and go, I could come down, just, spend a couple hours just going and getting you food instead of you trying to hit the Liberty Station when it's open. And
Right. Yeah. Kind of a mini crewman. Yeah. Just
yep.
Yeah, a
So
little for
yeah,
everybody.
so
That's awesome.
valuable. Dude,
Yeah.
it has been so much fun chatting with you.
Oh yeah,
So
Mike. Yeah, same here.
I ask everybody this, and the name of the podcast is Living an Ultra Life.
Yes.
So when you hear that, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Oh, an ultra life. I am thinking ultra. Of course, I'm going to running, and I'm going long distance, and. You can't make that long distance, of course, like every race and how we paddle. I kind of relate into the paddle. I tell people of like we have to move at this speed because we have to be at this check mark by a certain time because that's where we sleep and we don't want to be doing that at 2 in the morning because we have to be back up. So anyway, I think you can do anything, but it's like you said, the story side too. We all want to have a great story. And I used to say it's all about the stories. Like be the one at the dinner table with the most stories. And let people be jealous of your life because you've done some silly things, but going the distance. I just think having that ultra life is a long distance thing. And if you want to hit your 100 miles, you're going to have to be moving the entire time. Don't take breaks in life. Make every day valuable and worth it because unfortunately, there's somebody out there that's not getting that chance for whatever reason. So just don't take
Exactly.
it for granted.
Exactly. And that's why what you're doing with paddling for pennies and the long paddle, that's so, so valuable. And man, definitely want to link into both of your charities and be, you know, people be able to
Awesome.
find them and everything. And
Yeah.
because what you're doing is it's extremely valuable and it's not happening enough from a large level. So I just
Yeah.
love stuff like Swami and what you're doing that's at the micro level. And I think it's going to
Yes.
make a bigger difference at the micro level than at this macro level. And so, dude, really appreciate what you're doing, Alan.
No, I appreciate those words, and that's what it's unfortunate that we have to do these things. And I you know it's unfortunate that there's not better programs for these guys and ladies that deserve way more than they're getting, that they've got to, you know, that we have to step up and try to do what little bit we can. But I feel like it's more personable for all of us and them. We get to relate more together, doing it together, first responders and military, one team. So,
Absolutely. You nailed it, Alan. Thank you so
yeah.
much.
Well, thanks, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultralife.